Good morning, everyone. Have I ever mentioned that getting ready to preach is an adventure? I'm supposed to be in the book of Zephaniah. That's what I thought I was going to be speaking out of, probably 3 weeks ago or so. And as preparation started to amp up, I realized that I'm not speaking out of the book of Zephaniah. I'm speaking out of the book of Psalms. And it came about, Zephaniah was not complicated, but very, very, very detailed, and I started feeling not uneasy, but a little bit. Oh wow, okay, okay, and happened to be reading in the Psalms, and I went to Psalm 107, and then I traced back into some notes that I had, and when I opened it up, everything was already highlighted and the parts taken out and just put together, and I said, thank you, Lord. But then it gets better, because all week I've been hearing Psalm 107. I've heard messages randomly on the radio. I've heard the word Thanksgiving. I think I've heard that word more this week than I have ever, which was even further confirmation. And then the things that were said today confirmed again Thanksgiving. So I feel confident in the Lord that what I'm going to be speaking on is what the Lord has given me for you to hear today. So praise God for that. Bondage, confinement, whether from the power of disease or from prison, from the wicked and unreasonable men, and from captivity, possibly in enemy country, where they've been treated harshly. This applies to me and to you also, because we too were prisoners in bondage, in slavery to our sins. As God's providence is concerned, in all such deliverance, thanks should be given to Him. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. Giving thanks. That's the will of God for us. Wow. Praise the Lord. I want to say we don't really have a choice, but if we're in Christ, we don't have a choice. This is part of His will. This is part of what He has birthed in us, is to give Him thanks. We don't give thanks for circumstances, but we can give thanks in the circumstance. There's a huge difference. We aren't a bunch of lunatics that are thanking God for the misery and the difficulties that come to our life. But we are called to thank Him when the misery and the difficulty of our life, or the extreme heartbreak, that's when we are to thank Him, in the middle of it. We're not saying, Lord, you know, I'm so glad my son died. That would be crazy. But you know, we can say, Lord, I don't understand why my son died, but I thank you for the years you gave me with him. I thank you for the relationship we had. I thank you that you knew him and he knew you. That's the example of thanking God in the circumstance. But this is best understood spiritually by those who have been redeemed by Christ. This makes no sense if you don't know the Lord. It would provoke something totally contrary from the Lord when this sort of thing happens in the world. We haven't even looked at the wanderer yet, and here we are, wanderers. Verse 4 to 9. I have the ESV and the King James, and I flip back and forth because sometimes the King James just has a little more oomph in it for me. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. So travelers through waste places, particularly the wild deserts of Arabia, where the wind is blowing, you have sandstorms, the sand is collecting on the sidewalks, your face is covered, you lose your way, you're wandering about in this stuff, and then by the providence, one providence or the other, you're led to the right place. Some compare this with the Old Testament saints mentioned in Hebrews 11, 37 and 38. I won't read it. The certainty, however, is whether you're lost, thirsty, hungry, exhausted, which typifies the Israelites in exile, but also anyone who has not found satisfaction from knowing the Lord. Today, people aren't wandering in actual physical deserts, to the best of my knowledge, but they are wandering in spiritual deserts, wastelands of hopelessness, brokenness, confusion. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and each one has turned to his own way." That's a wandering away. We're all doing our own thing. Why have we turned to our own way? Well, because there are so many ways. There are so many ways presented to us. Are there many ways presented to us today? Many, many ways. So we take the road, we take a road, and then we realize, oh, that's the wrong path. And we're left broken, bewildered. And then Jesus comes and says, in John 14:6, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me." The ESV says, "through me." I kind of like that. Through me. You have to go through Him to get anywhere near the Father. Praise God. So the conclusion to the wandering. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Can we do that right now? Let's do that. Lord, we thank You. We were wanderers, Lord. And then You came and You showed us the right way, Lord, and we thank You for that. We thank you, Lord, that we are no longer left wandering, Lord, but we have a definite path to walk on. So we praise you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look at some prisoners. Verse 10 to 16. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contempt the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their brands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he had broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. I almost feel like when it's repeated like that, it's like there's a begging. Praise God. Give thanks to God. Let's hear what Elihu, one of Job's friends, said to him about this very thing in chapter 36, verse 8 to 12. But if men are bound in chains, held fast by cords of affliction, he tells them what they have done, and they have sinned arrogantly. He makes them listen to correction and commands them to repent of their evil. If they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment. But if they do not listen, they will perish by the sword and die without knowledge. So he's repeating what the psalm was saying. The conclusion to the prisoners: let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. When things are repeated over and over in the Scripture, we really need to take heed to it. Verse 17 to 22. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Rebellion is a serious, serious sin. It's why the Lord rejected Saul as king. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is like the sin of divination, which is witchcraft, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Arrogance. Offensive display of superiority or self-importance. Overbearing pride. Sin can lead to sickness and death. We read that in Psalm 32. When you're really sick, you're not really thinking about food. And when you're dying, you're not eating. You just want to die. Is that true, nurse? Mostly? Okay. The only time you're enjoying a really good last meal is when you're being put to death, where they give you a choice of what you want to eat before they pull the switch, right? Other than that, when you're sick, you're sick. And Jesus said unto them, for the bread of God, pardon me, John 6:3, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. So the conclusion for the sick. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wondrous deeds for men. I find it really interesting that the last verse, 22, is the only verse that says, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. None of the other exhortations of the three say that. Why is that? Well, you can read all about sacrifice, thank offerings in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 11 to 34. I know that that is some of you, your favorite book in the Bible. We've all read it a bunch of times, haven't we? I'm under the assumption that because the Psalms is an Old Testament book, it was meant as a physical sacrifice. To do something for someone else requires putting the other person first. Hence, that takes the attention off of yourself and onto the person that you're doing whatever for. You're not the object of the worship, but you become the one doing the worshiping. That requires humility. When we sacrifice thank offerings unto the Lord, we are putting Him, the Lord, in the place that He belongs, which is above us. Satan, the Lord's enemy, and as I said before, our enemy as well, was defeated and cast out of heaven because of his pride, which was rebellion against the Lord. So for our application of a thank offering, that would be what? Praise to the Lord. Singing unto the Lord. Crying unto the Lord, shouting out to the Lord, fasting unto the Lord. I dare say that there are many, many more things that we can do that would be considered a sacrifice thank offering, providing it would place worship to God at the forefront. Amen? Verse 23. 31. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the storm, wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunk men and are at their wit's end. You ever been in a boat like that? I have. It's not fun. Been in a plane like that. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Have you ever been in a storm? Winter? Everybody. Rain? Hurricane? Tornado? I've been in a hurricane in Trinidad. You may have been as well. Unbelievable winds. Seeing roofs just moved off of buildings like nothing. Scary. I was in a rainstorm just a couple months ago coming back from Nepal. It was so bad. The person I was talking to on the phone, I says, I got to go. I can't see. It was coming down that hard for like 5 minutes. And then we got through it and it was like a whole new horizon. But in that moment, if I would have had to drive the whole way home like that, I don't know if I could have. Because it was that. My wipers were on the fastest they could go, and it wasn't keeping up. You know, we had something similar to that this week. Most of you wouldn't have been affected by it, but it was in the north. And you would not believe the amount of trees that are down in the Garden City area. It's just incredible. Anyways, storms can be blinding. They can leave you sick. They can leave you white-knuckled. Been there, done that. They can leave you hesitant. They can shake your confidence in your abilities to navigate. Anytime I've hit the ditch, which hasn't been often, but when I get out of there, I just want to drive 30, you know, because your confidence goes, right? Especially when you have no control, right? Just the freezing rain just takes you there, right? Spiritual storms are even worse. Why? Well, there's no Weather Channel. There's no news forecast you can go to that tells you. You can't look up in the sky and say, oh yeah, it's cloudy, the rain's going to be coming. Spiritual storms just happen. Sometimes they happen and you're prepared. Most times you're not. But they don't come unless the Lord allows it. Do you believe that? And then there are storms that the Lord brings. Our loving God sent his Son to die for us. Is going to bring a storm into our lives? Could that be? There's got to be something wrong with the scripture there. No contradiction? Let's see. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on the earth like him. He is blameless. He is upright. A man who fears God and shuns evil. The Lord said to Satan, very well then. Prior to that, Satan says, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've got special protection on Job. That's why you're boasting about him. You've got special protection on him. You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. Job was very rich. But stretch your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger. So the Lord gave Satan full permission. Full permission to do what he wanted to Job. And it's a great book if you read it. All kinds of stuff happened to Job. Job had more suffering in his life than you and I will ever dream of. And a lot of it happened in like one day. Whether it's the right time frame, from family, everything. So much so that his wife even said, curse God and die. Give up your integrity already. And Job said, do we expect only good from the hand of the Lord, but not evil? That's hard for Christians to accept. But bad things come. And sometimes they come because God allows it. Who would burn a church down? What's that all about? Well, there's a church right across the street that they're meeting in today. Isn't that a miracle? Did the Lord not know that way back when? Doesn't matter what the enemy does to us. The Lord is going to protect us. Will it be hard? Absolutely. Will we be protected? Absolutely. Amen. Are we victorious? 100%. Amen. Each and every one of us is a reflection of the resurrection. Each and every one of us. That's what the world sees. Next time you're at a bus stop, you are an example of the resurrection at that bus stop. To your neighbor, you are a reflection of the resurrection of Jesus. You might not feel it, but you are. And the Lord has to catch our minds up to the reality of what He's done for us and who we are to Him and how we represent Him. We have to catch up to that. But we're slow learning. But he's so patient. Proverbs 10:25. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's more good news. There is more good news. See why we need a bigger pulpit? Up to here. Okay. All right. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Then the disciples went and woke him and said, Lord, save us! We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? See, it's not only us that struggle with that, right? They struggled with this way back then, and they had him with him. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him? Well, the kind of man that does that is the God we serve. That's the God we serve. Hallelujah. That storm came out of nowhere. Jesus knew it was coming, but the disciples didn't. The storms of our life, we don't even see them coming at times. And boom. So the wrap for today. We've looked at four different kinds of people / scenarios. Wanderers, prisoners, sick and storm-based people and situations. The Lord delivered them from every single one of them in the very midst of their struggle and in the midst of the danger. And they were all encouraged to give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wondrous deeds for men. I encourage you today, my brothers and sisters, we have a limited amount of breaths that the Lord has given to each and every one of us. You ever think about that? We have a limited amount of breaths. That's becoming more and more apparent to me as my clients and family and friends pass on. We don't know what that number is, but it's different for everybody, but it's definitely limited. So, I encourage you, use the very first one of the day to thank the Lord. Thank Him for the very breath, every single day. If you say, Leroy, I do that already, hey, praise God. If you don't, start doing it. Make it a habit. That's one of the first things I do when I get up. If I don't do it at the side of the bed after I stumble downstairs, I say, Lord, just thank you that I'm alive today, that I'm breathing. That just sets the tone. Last but not least, the righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Lastly, for anybody that will be listening to this message online at a future date at some point in time, there is a great spiritual storm coming. Some say it's here already. Isaiah warns us and says in 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I'm going to let your mind think about where that is happening in our society today. The Lord can deliver you from any storm. But in order for Him to do that, you have to call out to Him. So any future listeners, I'm going to call out to the Lord for you today, right now, wherever you're listening. If the Lord is speaking to you, just simply repeat these words. Lord, I heard your word today. I have been a wanderer. I confess that I have lived my life selfishly without knowing you, without wanting to know you. But I hear your Son Jesus is able to forgive my sins. I don't know how it's possible because I'm such a sinner, but I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to ask you to forgive all of my sins, and I want to know your Son Jesus. I want him to come into my life and teach me how to live, how to give thanksgiving to you. For while I was living my life selfishly, your hand was still upon me. I ask you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your ears and for allowing me to be before you and speaking to you on behalf of the Lord. Praise God.